Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Comic book heroes come in all sizes and shapes. They even have different special powers, too. There are a number of Native American comic superheroes, and the list is growing. A new museum exhibit is helping to unfold the story of Native American heroes, both comic and real. Today we're asking, who are your favorite comic book heroes? And just what makes someone a hero? Do they need special powers to make a difference? Get your cape and boots ready. We're talking about superheroes right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Over the past 4 days, we've brought you stories looking at Alaska's rural sanitation situation. We've seen how the lack of modern sanitation is linked to disease. We've also reported on the implications the lack of funding has in villages with a limited cash economy. Today, reporter Jocelyn Estes concludes the series.
In communities without running water and flush toilets in Alaska, children are 11 times more likely to develop pneumonia than other Alaskans, and some develop skin infections. Both are due to the shortage of clean water needed for frequent hand washing. Federal and state funding is not keeping up with the need, and the situation is likely to get worse due to climate change. Colleen Swan of Kivalina says villagers had seen the disappearance of sea ice that once protected the village from fierce fall storms, but they were shocked by the tidal surge and flooding that slammed their small barrier island and carried away acres of land.
We know there is a huge problem. It's getting worse. It's going faster. It's like a moving train that's picking up speed. Our train hit in 2004. And we've been dealing with the aftermath of that. And so even if people are in denial, that doesn't change the fact that it's a reality.
Kivalina is now seeking funds to relocate. In some places, high temperatures are turning permafrost, permanently frozen ground, into a soupy muck. A home might settle while the pipes don't, so the pipes break away. Floods may taint a water source or wash out water and sewer systems. Alaska Village Safe Water Facilities Program Director Bill Griffith says agencies are working with the communities with the highest public health risks first, such as communities that have already lost critical elements of their sanitation systems.
We've got communities that have lost their water sources or lost the water line that used to be on the beach that's eroded. That we're trying to get after those first, but it's almost like a triage situation right now. We don't have the funds to be able to do everything that we know is going to be affected over the next 20 years, so we're trying to work with the ones that are affected right now.
In Kotzebue, Manilook Hospital Administrator Paul Hansen says modern sanitation will do a lot to improve public health, but he notes good health is also linked to socioeconomic status and to culturally appropriate care.
I think the biggest challenge that we face is really being able to care for ourselves. And when I say that, I mean not only just actually, you know, our daily habits and that sort of thing, but I mean developing our own workforce and having folks from our region taking care of folks from our region.
And Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation President Dan Winkleman hasn't lost hope that Congress or the state legislature will come through with funding to put water and sewer systems in every village in Alaska.
There's about 4,500 homes within the state of Alaska that are not on a pipe water and sewer system.
Innovation has been slow to come for rural sanitation in Alaska. And just as it's begun to appear, so has a dramatic reduction in state revenues. Everyone talks about planning for more resiliency in the face of climate change, but those who are actually working with the problem speak more in terms of triage. Whether they will end up gaining ground or losing it remains to be seen. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support by United Tribes Technical College, offering courses online for a career in medical coding and for updating your current coding certification. Registration available through August 10th online at uttc.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. If you could have any superpower, what would it be? Would you choose the ability to fly? Or what about the power to microwave things with your eyes? Or would you choose to have blades shooting out of your hands? Superheroes in comics have all kinds of powers that help them save the day. And today we'll be talking about Native American superheroes and just what makes them so super. And recently, the Heard Museum opened an exhibit called Superheroes, Art, Action, Adventure. And the exhibit takes a look at Native American superheroes in the comics and in real life. And in a minute, we'll speak with some of the folks from the exhibit. But first, get to the phone, give us a call, tell us what superpower you'd like to have. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now, joining us from Los Angeles, California, is Aragon Starr. And she is an actor, writer, musician, and she's also the creator of Super Indian. And she is Kickapoo, Muscogee Creek, Cherokee, and Seneca. It's our pleasure to welcome her back. Good day to you, Aragon.
Good day to everyone, and hello, all Native America Calling people. It's been a while. I'm glad to be back.
All right. And you are definitely one of the super natives out there. And let's just jump into this. Aragon, I know you like superheroes. You know, who was your favorite superhero growing up?
I think I would have to say it was a cross between Spider-Man and Superman. I love both of those characters immensely. I totally related to Peter Parker and his, you know, otherness, his outsideness, and his just crazy, like, what happened? And same thing with Superman, also being an outsider, because, you know, as Native people, here we are, you know, in the dominant society, walking in two worlds, as we say. So, you know, that kind of stuff really resonated me as a kid.
Very nice. Well, Aragon, I got to confess, I'm wearing Spider-Man shirt right now. And I'm feeling a little bit super today. So, you know, it's Friday. Everybody feels a little bit more super on Friday, I guess. And, you know, what do you think about, you know, superheroes, why we connect to them so much? Does it give us some kind of freedom or what do you think?
I think it's a way to connect with the wishes and dreams that, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, you see so much wrong in the world and you wish that you had the power to change it. And it just kind of, you know, being a superhero would be a wonderful way to, like, right some of the many, many wrongs.
Wow. Yes, definitely. And, you know, I was thinking about that as we were getting ready for today's show, you know, what kind of superpower would you want? And I think mine would be to just make water appear. I would love to have that kind of superpower. And, you know, somebody needs some water, call Tara. What about you, Aragon? And by the way, if you want to call in and tell us what superpower you would like to have, also want to hear how you'd use it, please do call right now. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848, Native America. We want to hear from you. Aragon, all right, what about your powers?
my power would be to teleport. I get called to do so many things, and I want to always be able to, like, just bamf, you know, just like Nightcrawler, back to Oklahoma and you know, hit the stomp dance and bamf, go up to Crow Fair, bam, you know, just do that sort of thing. And then if I need to be in New York, bam, I can do it. Or London or wherever, you know, Australia, I would go there in a heartbeat, because I'm a traveling type. That's my kickapoo side that comes out all the time. We're always, our bags are packed and ready to go.
Right on. And, you know, we know you here at Native America Calling. You've shared a lot with us over the years, and we always appreciate hearing what you're up to. You've even introduced Super Indian to us. Right now, if you're online, check us out, Native America Calling. On Facebook, we posted one of Aragon's comics that she did, kind of a tribute to Native America Calling. Got Super Indian with, I think it's Blues Bear, is it? Or Mr. Bear?
Oh, that would be Mega Bear.
Mega Bear, Mega Bear. And so get us into Super Indian. You know, who is he? How did it start? And, you know, what has he brought to the world, would you say?
Well, Super Indian started back in 2007 at Native Voices of the Autry here in Los Angeles. It was a radio play, and it was broadcast by Native Voice One in 2007. We did it in front of a live audience, and it was a wonderful production, kind of done in the style of the old school Batman from the 60s, the TV show with Adam West. With a lot of humor, a lot of fun, and I had lots of story ideas for it and also art ability. So I took my scripts and I turned them into a comic book. Now, that didn't happen overnight. The comic didn't actually start online as a webcomic till 2011. So once I got that going, I finally had enough product to put a whole book together. And since then, it's just kind of just, I'm surprised at how popular it is. Honestly, I'm floored. Every time somebody, oh, it's my favorite thing, or, you know, somebody picks it, I'm just ecstatic, because I'm doing it for fun. And to have something that I'm doing, that I love, but that's for fun, and it's successful, is just amazing.
Nice, nice. And if you're one of her fans and you want to give her a shout out about the hero she has brought to our Native lives, feel free, call in. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we're talking about superheroes. You know, maybe even you turn to the comics to see what latest adventure your favorite superhero is on. Tell us a little bit about it. You know, who do you gravitate towards? Has it changed over the years? Give us a call. Phone lines are open. 1-800-996-2848. 2848, who are your superheroes, whether they be in the comics or maybe something traditional? Call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Aragon, you recently released Super Indian Volume 2. Tell us a little bit more about this and what kind of adventure takes place.
Well, as many of you know, Super Indian ate tainted commodity cheese, and he got superpowers. That's kind of the short story of what happened to him. This time, he's battling a vampire, and I'm bringing a little of a Twilight spoof into it, and just the whole issue of, you know, how much Native are you, and you're more Native than me, and you have more blood quantum, and that's the name of the villain in this story. His name is Blood Quantum, spelled completely differently, kind of in an Indian way, and he's basically come to the reservation to just suck the Indians dry. As they do. And Super Indian, with the help of a new female superhero that he introduced, Laguna Woman, they are going to take Blood Quantum down. And it's a fun story, and I was so happy to get the help of Lee Francis, who's from Laguna, and also Shia Lucero, also from Laguna, to help develop her and to, you know, put her together as far as, like, she's a traditional woman living in the modern world. She's a tour guide by day, and she becomes Laguna Woman when she's needed.
Ah, very nice. I can definitely relate to that one. And, you know, Aragon, it seems that heroes always have, like, certain qualities or you know, there's something with them that they got to overcome. You know, what is it that these heroes, you know, what are they faced with? Or what are their qualities that you feel, you know, puts them in that hero category?
Well, as far as like Super Indian related to that question, you know, he is this geeky, nerdy kid that works at the bingo hall as a janitor. And he's always struggling to be seen, which I think a lot of, you know, as Native people kind of, that's our thing. We want to be seen. We don't want to be thought of as extinct or invisible or any of these issues. And that's his biggest thing. But he wants to be seen in his community rather than like, I want to be, you know, I want to blow up on Facebook or I want to, you know, be on The Voice or something crazy like that. He just, he wants his community to recognize his worth and his value. And so even though he's hiding behind Super Indian, he's serving his community, which I really think is important, and that's a superpower in itself.
Yes, you need a lot of strength for that one. Again, we want to hear from you too. Tell us what superpowers you'd like to have, how you'd like to use them. Call right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go now to Dan in Kyle, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Dan, what powers would you like?
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. I think that I would like to have the power to teach kids ages, you know, any ages, photography, the power of photography, the visual language of photography across reservations and in Indian communities across the country or across the world all at once. Because right now we're putting on a photography workshop called Cameras for Kids in Kyle, South Dakota, on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And these kids, their eyes are just blowing up when they're in the dark room and they see images just open up, and you can tell it's just something that, you know, they're really excited to do day after day. And I'd like the power to have to be teaching it for longer than 2 weeks.
That is a good one, Dan. Thank you for your call there in Kyle, South Dakota. And just hearing you, Dan, what about the power to speak any native language or the power to give other people power to speak their own language? What do you think about that? If you want that power, call me. Tell me about it. 1-800-996-2848. Dan, thank you for your call. Aragon, what do you think about that? The ability to empower our kids through photography or just learning new things?
I am so about that. That's one of the things that has happened in result of the comic books. I'm going to be in Tulsa at the end of the month doing a Native comic book workshop with Michael Shayashi, who's Caddo, and Roy Boney from Cherokee Nation, just teaching kids how to do comic books. And again, same with the photography, and a way to express yourself and a way to tell a story that's very personal and that's unique to that individual, to that kid. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah. All right. Again, want to hear from you. What superpowers do you wish you had? Or maybe you want to gift somebody a superpower. Call in, tell us what it would be and why. 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and continue to grow this super conversation by bringing in another voice coming to us from Quebec, Canada. It's Jay Ojik, and he is the creator of the comic Kagagi, and he is also a television producer, and he comes to us from the Kitigan, Zibi, Anishinaabe Nation. Our pleasure to welcome him in. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Tara, and may I just say, great job on the Anishinaabe Algonquin pronunciation there. You're a natural.
All right. It's part of the superpower today.
Oh, right. That's good.
But I think my Anishinaabe ends right there. But Jay, jump in here. You know, tell us. I want to hear first. What kind of superpower do you want, or maybe you already have it?
Well, you know how it is. As we get older, we tend to get a little more boring, maybe. And when I was a kid, I had some pretty fantastic ideas about superpowers and what I would do with them. But now that I'm a little older and I'm a comic book artist, I'm like, I would like super speed so I could just crush deadlines. That would be awesome. And all my editors would love it. So I got to be a little practical about it.
All right. And take us a little bit down or back memory lane. And you encountered Spider-Man when you were little and the experience, well, it didn't quite go so well. Give us your Spider-Man story.
It didn't go well for myself or Spider-Man, I think. Yeah. Even though I'm from the Kitigan, Zibi, Anishinaabe community in Quebec, that's where my dad is from. I was actually born in Rochester, New York. So my mom is American. So where we lived was kind of in the, you know, it wasn't the rich side of town, we'll say. And the only thing we had to really entertain us was comics, because there was a comic book shop literally right down the street. And they had this good for us, but I think highly illegal practice of if a book didn't sell, they'd tear the cover off and sell it for like 10 cents. So we were there all the time. And it was a very forward-thinking store in that they would bring in people in costume and just say, like, you know, Spider-Man appearance in store. And when you're, I think I was like five, and when you're five, when you see Spider-Man in store, there's no possibility that that's some actor in a suit. That's Spider-Man. You're going to meet Spider-Man, right? So my mom brings myself and my older brother, who at that point is probably 9, maybe 10 years old, and we're in line. And, you know, Spidey's there, man. He's kids are sitting on his lap. They're taking photos. Everyone is super stoked. I'm pumped. This is my hero. I'm going to meet him. And my brother leans over to me and he goes, "Hey, I don't think that's really Spider-Man." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? It says Spider-Man. I see him. He's right there." And he goes, "I think it's just some dude in a suit." And I go, there's no way that Spider-Man wouldn't lie. What's wrong with you?" And he goes, "All right, well, we'll check. Here's what we'll do. I'll ask if I can see his web shooters, right? And when he shows me the web shooters, you go for the mask and we'll see if it's really Peter Parker." Now, whenever you're a little kid, if your older brother tells me you go for the mask, don't go for the mask, whatever you do, right? And the thing that was really funny is that even though my brother was so mature about it, he still for some reason thought that this fake Spider-Man would have web shooters. Like, why? But anyway, so okay, I agree to this deal just to prove he's wrong and that it is actually Peter Parker under this mask. So we get to the front of the line. We go to take the photo. My mom is beaming. She's super happy to see her kids all excited about this. And my brother says, "Hey, Spidey, let me see your web shooters." And this guy is taken aback because he was not ready for this at all. He clearly had no web shooters. So he looks at my brother and he goes, And when he did that, I got the mask about halfway up and all we heard was, "Security!" And that was the first time I ever got escorted out of a building. So,
oh,
yeah, that was how
man.
I met Spidey.
Well, you know, hey, you gotta expose the fraud sometime, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. So maybe that was my superpower as a kid, was being searching for the truth and being super gullible.
Yep, right there. And, you know, speaking of kids, kitties, if y'all are out there too, these are your native airwaves too. You can call in too and tell us about your superpowers, ones you wish you had, or just even who is your favorite hero. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Don't forget to ask somebody, an adult, first before you pick up that phone and call. Tell them you're calling us. Again, our number, 1-800-996-2848. And Jay, thanks for sharing that story, because, you know, it does reveal, you know, a little bit more of the depth that a lot of people who really gravitate towards heroes. It's not just about, you know, something colorful or something, you know, you see on TV or read in a book. People really associate or connect certain things to them. And just being somebody who is now creating heroes, how important is it that, you know, you mold these heroes in a form that they're, you know, emitting what you want? Go ahead, Jay.
Sure. I think for myself, really, the thing that was interesting was to, when we were making Kagagi, was to say, look, we're going to play this completely straight. We're going to create a native hero who gets thrust into this role who is not ready for it. So I think what was interesting was to look at, he's a kid, a teenage boy who gets powers, but he's not ready to be a hero yet. Just because he has powers doesn't necessarily make him a hero. So he kind of has to learn to grow into that role. So I think that's one of the key things, is just that, like, we mean right, but we have to make sure that we're ready to do the right thing. And that's what defines a hero, whether you have powers or not, is just your willingness to do the right thing, no matter the cost to yourself.
All right. And you know, that's a great idea to throw out there. You know, what does it take to be a hero? Call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Jay, let's introduce Kagagi to our audience. Here is a clip from the animated series that aired on Aboriginal People's Television Network in Canada.
"There you are, kid. I was hoping I wouldn't have to do this in front of your friend We've got to talk.
What are you doing here, old man? Get lost, or I'm going to have
to... Going to what, exactly? Temper flare-ups are a part of the transformation. I can help you through this. You've dreamed about it. The Wendigo. Your destiny. You've inherited something very powerful. There's no easy way to say
it. Spit it out!
You're Kagagi.
Who?
Kagagi. The Raven. You don't speak Anishinaabe?
Seize Wasaka Jack!
Ooh, man, left us on a cliffhanger on that one. And the series Kagagi, we also posted a video of it on Facebook, too. You can check that out. And Jay, was that your voice in there?
Actually, that wasn't. The character Wiskajak was played by Ronnie Dean Harris, who's a rap artist who goes by OS12. He's pretty sick if anybody wants to check him out. And we had Eric Wilson as Kagagi / Matthew Carver. And one thing I would just like to say is if you are in Canada, you can actually go to APTN's website and stream the episodes. I don't think it works outside of Canada, but you can still go even if you're outside of Canada. And there's a site for the show. You can check it out and learn more about it there, about our cast and who did what.
Very nice. And Jay, we got about a minute before break here. Anything you want to say about wanting to incorporate just your language?
Sure. What we did with the show was we did one version that's completely in English. We did one version of the show that's in English with 20% Anishinaabe or Algonquin. And we did one that's fully in Algonquin when you can watch that with English subtitles. So for kids, I think it was really important that we do something to help keep the language alive that kids can use to maybe pick up a little bit of the language in a fun, entertaining way. And the show's primarily entertainment. But if that works, then that's just a bonus. That's the icing on the cake right there.
Very nice. And we're going to continue to learn a little bit more about heroes are playing into our guests' lives. They're also comic heroes. They have work out. If you also have questions for them about maybe developing a hero of your own, maybe you're a storyteller, maybe you're an artist, or maybe you're getting into comics and filmmaking. We got some great folks on the line with us today. If you'd like to ask any questions, we're focusing in on heroes. And I also like to hear from you, too. You know, what makes a hero? You can call us at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also reach out to us on social media. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Send us a tweet and tell us how you would use a special superpower. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. You know, we're hearing a little bit about Kagagi, and it's incorporating some of Jay's indigenous language. What about you? Do your favorite heroes rest, maybe even in traditional stories? You know, what kind of lessons have traditional native heroes brought to your life? What about introducing them into a modern world through comics? Would you like to see something like that happening? Call us right now. And who would you like to see creating these images or putting the stories together? Give us a call. Our phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. Again, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we will be right back after this break. I'm Tara Gatewood, host of Native America Calling. Did you or a person you know show cancer who was boss? Join us as we celebrate the lives of the strong folks who survived cancer. On the next hour, we'll also shine the light on cancer in Native America and just what needs to be done to keep Native communities healthy. We hope you can join us.
Tired of seeing good disappear. I'm Nathan. My job gave me a lot. It gave me an income to support my family. It gave me purpose and pride. But the secondhand smoke there triggered my severe asthma attacks, infections, and lung damage. And I never smoked. It was so bad that my doctor told me I shouldn't work there anymore. I had to quit my job. But the damage was done. Now I'm so sick, I can't do much of anything I used to love to do. I don't referee youth basketball anymore. I don't run or lift weights. It's too much for my body to take. Instead, I'm taking breathing treatments or oxygen. I guess you could say my job gave me a lot. So let me give you a tip. Don't let people tell you that working around secondhand smoke is safe.
Smoking affects more than just your health. If you or someone you know wants free help to quit smoking, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and thanks for joining us today. We're glad you've chosen to spend some time with us. And our program is on each weekday, and we bring you topics that help people understand more about Native America. And if you have suggestions for show topics, please do send us an email. We want to hear from you. Our address is comments at nativeamericacalling.com. And we are talking about comics and superheroes today. And who are some of your favorite superheroes? Do you admire Spider-Man because of its spidey sense? Or are your superheroes more in the vein of Super Indian? And maybe even Captain Paiute or Kagagi. Our phone lines are open. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And with us today is Jay Ojik, and he is a comic book creator and television producer. And he is joining us from the Kitigan Zibi Anishinaabe Reserve in Canada. Also with us today, we've got Aragon Star, and her comic book, Super Indian Volume 2, just came out a few months ago. And her work is featured in a new Heard Museum exhibit titled Superheroes Art Action Adventure. And we're going to hear more about that too in just a moment. But we're going to kick things off in our second half with a caller coming to us from Gallup, New Mexico. We have Landon, who is connecting to us on KGLP Radio. Landon, welcome to the hour. And what kind of superpower would you like, or who is your favorite hero?
My favorite superhero is Superman.
Ooh, nice. What is it about Superman that's got you?
Well, he can, like, fly, and he's indestructible, and he can shoot lasers out of his eyes, and then he's from a different planet.
Ah, very nice. And Landon, if you could have Superman's powers, what would you do with them?
I'd fly everywhere because flying makes everything quicker.
Certainly. Well, Landon, thank you for giving us a ring. We're wishing you a great summer there. Thank you for giving us a ring in Gallup, New Mexico. Again, kids, if you're out there, you want to tell us about superpowers you wish you had, or a superhero that you like to follow, maybe even met one. Call us right now. We want to hear about it. 1-800-996-2848. Adults, you can call with the same kind of a response, too. Everybody's a kid at heart. All right, let's hear from another one, another caller. We want to go to Dale in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Dale, what would you like to share?
Well, first of all, my superpower would be super strength because, you know, I just like to be strong.
Right on.
And, second of all, I'd like to just, my second superpower would be to want to change people's perception of what Native Americans are in pop culture. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of listeners are aware of recent news with Adam Sandler and whatnot. I've never been comfortable, even though, it's still hard to find the words of how to express myself, like distaste for how natives are represented, especially in comics, and I'm a lifelong comic book fan.
My favorite
comics growing up was the X-Men, because everybody was so different, everyone was so unique, and then you had the X-Men themselves, which was a group where no matter how different you were automatically accepted. And so, of course, growing up, no matter where I was at, I was always the oddball out, because, you know, if I was, my father's white and my mother's Navajo, so when I was with my Navajo family, of course, I was called the white boy, and whenever I was with my white family, I was called the Indian. So, you know, I was never really able to fit in anywhere, but then whenever I would read the X-Men, it was like, oh, this is a group that everyone fits in, because they're all different. That was my favorite growing up.
Yeah, I can see a lot of parallels, and you bring up a really good point, and if you had that superpower, I would not be surprised if you spent most of your time in Hollywood. Dale, thank you for your call here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's bring our guests in to comment on that. Aragon, your thoughts, stereotypes, having the power to turn them around.
Yeah, that's so important in what we're doing. And in fact, I have to tell you, I actually refused that audition from the Adam Sandler project back in January. When I saw those sides, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to just explode. So I'm really happy that the people that did, you know, that walked off the set. But, sometimes you just got to walk away. And as a superhero, I don't know. I don't know if Superman could walk away from that. He'd probably just bust some heads, and heads would roll. And it is important for us to change the perception of natives in any place that we are, be it in Hollywood or comic books or in literature, anywhere we're seen, because we are real people and we're still here.
Yes, we are.
We're still here.
Thanks for that, Aragon. Jay, what's your take on that? Even comics that are out there about natives and certain stereotypes that exist. Go ahead, Jay, your thoughts.
Well, that ties directly into the secret origin of Kagagi. I mean, when I was a kid, looking at comic books that I was reading and cartoons and stuff, I didn't see accurate representations of Native people anywhere. And that kind of put the bug in my head to say, okay, like when you get older and you're good enough to actually do this, professionally, that's something you're going to have to change. Like, no matter what opportunities you get in your career to, you know, say you get to work for bigger companies or whatever, you still have to try and get this done. And that's really why Kagagi exists, is just to kind of show my take on what First Nations people hero would be like without going through the lens of Hollywood. And I think being able to have it made into a television series really helped accomplish that.
And when it comes to some of the native heroes that we do see making it into some of the mainstream comics, any thoughts on that? You know, are there any native authors or writers or artists out there who are making some of these characters come to life? And is that even important? What do you think, Jay?
I think it's super important, and I can't name very many comic creators who I know of who work for the established companies. Most Native creators tend to be, I think, based on our independent entrepreneurial spirit, we tend to do our own thing. But there are a few guys. There's one writer I know of who I think is working on one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle books. There's Jeffrey Varige. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name right. I'm sorry if not. And he's done some work for IDW on their G.I. Joe and Transformers covers. So, I mean, there are some of us. We're starting to break in. But I think really it's this kind of first wave of Native creators who are starting to break into the business and break down those barriers and bring change from within. So we'll see what happens in the future. But I'm optimistic because it really seems like it's something that's starting to catch on, and we're seeing more of us get involved in the business.
Sure. And, you know, we do have to applaud all of the Native artists and storytellers and creators who are creating their own comics or even films or animations. But Jay, I also want to ask, you know, a lot of times our young ones and just even, you know, our Native nations see some of this and they pick a hero that they gel to. Why is it also important, some of these Native heroes that get out into the mainstream, that they have some kind of, you know, maybe even accuracy to them? Do you think that's important?
I think it's actually one of the most important things about it, because unless kids can see themselves reflected in the heroes that they're watching or reading the adventures of, then I don't think they can really connect that way and really feel some sense of proprietary feeling toward them. So if you look at something like a Superman, you know, he's, as our caller Landon had said, you know, he's an alien. He's from another planet. And I think that was the key to a lot of kids back in the day being able to identify with him, was that they were maybe, new to the country, or they were from a different place, or they felt like outsiders. And I know for Spider-Man, for me as a kid, one of the things that I liked about him, even though you knew he was Peter Parker, if you tried to take that mask off and got kicked out of a comic shop like I did, under that costume covers the whole body. And for all you knew, you know, Spider-Man could have been any nationality. He could have been anyone underneath that. And I think that's that thing that really helps ignite that spark of a kid, is you have to appeal to the imagination. But at the same time, it has to be something that feels real to them and that doesn't feel hokey or doesn't feel, you know, forced. It has to feel like, and that's the biggest thing, I think, for myself when I go back or I go speak at schools. I went to my own school, talked to the entire student body there. And for all these kids, they really feel like Kagagi, in a way, is their guy, because it's tangible and they can see me and they know, okay, look, one of the guys from our reserve did this. We can do it too. And it just kind of transcends the comic hero into becoming something more real. Whereas I think with the bigger companies, they never have that tangible sense. It's, they know that the character exists, but they don't know who's writing or drawing it. Whereas with native creators, I think our kids can, if we can do more to actually get out and meet the kids and show them what we're doing, I think we can create a stronger connection.
That's great, Jay. And I want to throw that out to our listening audience. You know, do you want to see more native characters in either comic books or maybe even animated films, or just, you know, when the kid turns on the TV, you know, would you also like them to see some Native American superheroes saving the day or teaching a lesson? Call us. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And the invitation is still there for you to call in and tell us what kind of superpower that you'd like to have. Do you need one right now? Call in. Tell us about it. 1-800-996-2848. And here with us today to expand how comics and heroes are connecting to our communities is Jacqueline Russell, and she's joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. She is the Education and Public Programs Director at the Heard Museum, and she is Navajo. Welcome to the hour, Jacqueline.
Hello. It's nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And Jacqueline, I guess kind of the pass into the hour today is for everyone to tell us what kind of superpowers they wish they had. Any thoughts on that one, Jacqueline?
I think that mine would be teleporting. I think it would be probably a toss-up between teleporting and being like Storm, somebody who could control the elements. But I think teleporting in this multi busyness of the day, that would probably be my choice.
Right on. And Jacqueline, I'm sure you've had a moment to really think about this and just heroes in general with the exhibit that is there at the Heard Museum. Please do tell our listening audience a little bit more about this exhibit and, you know, why it's special.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we began thinking about the concept of comics and superheroes probably a year and a half ago or so. And first it was really just noticing that there was this ongoing trend with people in the Native art world who were creating representations of popular cultural heroes, superheroes. So things from X-Men to Avengers, you know, that this was making their way into artwork, from pottery to different, you know, types of fashion, all different types of being and pulling and inspiring from that. But then through different research, as our exhibit team and the curator on this, Dr. Ann Marshall, started to research more, it really became apparent that people like Aragon, people like Jay, people that we were getting introduced to were not just being inspired by popular culture superheroes, but actually creating their own and creating indigenous, very strong indigenous narratives tied to whether that be creation stories or different aspects of Native identity and pulling from things and different touchstones of what being Native is and translating that into a narrative that had superpowers, quite literally, that were in some ways comic-inspired, you know, comedic renditions of this, and then in other ways, things that were a lot more serious in tone and being able to fight different types of ailments within the community or just generally types of, I guess, incidences that were created. And so it really, you know, showed us that there was this great interest and this real birth of this taking on this ownership of what superheroes were. So it has been a very exciting process, and working here at the museum and the programming aspect of it and education part of it, you know, it has been really great, and being able to work with Aragon and Jay, who are both featured in the show, has been a real learning experience because if anything, I think one of the talking points of the show is really that superheroes for Native people are traditional, you know, and it's something that I feel like there's an immediate acceptance of that by our visitors who are Native that come from Indigenous communities, that it's very natural to step into that world because we see things in a way that allows us to see our creation stories as part of the present and our future as part of the present and everything coexisting in our contemporary world today.
All right. Thanks for that, Jacqueline. And if you agree, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. All opinions are welcome when it comes to heroes in our community. Also, you know, the way we gel to those type of superheroes. And just like Jacqueline said, you know, do you gel more to some of the people in your own traditional stories? And would you say they're the true heroes? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take another call. We have Weston in Belcourt, North Dakota, connecting to us on KEYA. Weston, welcome to the hour, and go ahead, let us know what you're thinking.
Like, tell you the power that I'd like?
Yeah, what kind of power would you like to have?
I'd like to have super speed.
Nice. Where would you zip off to?
Where would I go?
Mm-hmm.
I would go to Australia because that's the place I want to go when I get older. I like it. It seems cool because of I've never seen a kangaroo before, and I want to go see one of those. And it seems like they have a lot of cool animals up there.
Yeah, you know, that is definitely a great reason to zip over there and, you know, discover new things. That's a great power. Weston, thank you for your call there in Belcourt, North Dakota. I hope you get there one day. Let's go ahead and take another call. We have Laura in Corrales, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Laura, welcome to the hour.
I'm so happy to talk to you.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
You know, I'm kind of blown away. I was raised out here going to the Pueblos a lot in New Mexico and seeing both the tremendous strength and resilience of the Native cultures, but also the oppression and the just like, you know, I'm an activist and I do a lot of stuff in different groups and we hear all the problems and issues and almost never, you know, I hear about blacks shooting in Ferguson, this and that, almost never. Do I hear any discussion about what we have done and continue to do to the Native community? Because it's our biggest shame. And I think the most brilliant, I can't believe it hasn't, I haven't heard it before, and I'm so glad to hear it. The most brilliant way to put you folks on the map, not just creatively, because I know there's going to be beautiful you know, magazines and stuff put out, but just as far as the stories and getting people to understand your culture in a way that's mass, you know, global, is through these cartoons and things. I think it's brilliant. And I'm sitting here just stunned going, this is such a great idea. This is going to get all these stories out. It's going to keep, like he said, which I love, is the languages, make it so these kids are, you know, learning their languages and not losing them because their favorite superhero speaks that language. I'm just sitting here in such happiness hearing this because it just gives me hope that these generations that are coming up are really going to come into their power. And finally, we're going to start acknowledging that the First Nations people, you know, need to sit at the table of modern culture. And I'm delighted to hear this. And thank you guys so much for what you're doing. I think it's brilliant.
All right, Laura, thank you for your call. Aragon, any words for our caller, Laura?
Well, this is a wonderful thing. We are, all of us, trying to get these wonderful history stories out. I'm also involved with a project called Tales of the Mighty Code Talkers, and we put out a teaser issue where I featured the Choctaw Code Talkers of World War One, and we're doing a whole book about this that hopefully will come out by the end of the year. But there's more on the plate. There's more stories that we can tell. In Super Indian Volume 1 and 2, I also include a Real Superheroes page where I talk about people like Maria Tallchief and Jim Thorpe and Will Rogers and just the people that have contributed to our Native culture, you know, across the country here. And there's more to come from that. I can't wait to do a story about, you know, a boarding school story or something like this, that the stories that just haven't been out there yet. And there's just so much work to do. I am kind of with Jay in that I would love to have super drawing speed and writing speed so I could get these books out.
And Aragon, you know, you do provide a great opportunity to quickly, you know, you go through the adventure and then you're meeting, you know, somebody who's real and has significance. You know, is this a tool that you would suggest to teachers to even thinking about or to get them thinking about other ways to, you know, incorporate culture or just even our Native heroes?
Yeah, I can't even tell you how much it has blown me away that Super Indian has been accepted by scholars and academics. I get a lot of orders from libraries, and the book is being included in college courses, like my friend Professor Susan Bernardin at SUNY Oneota in New York. She uses this in her native literature class. And again, I'm like, I didn't set out to do that. It was a byproduct of the work because of the fact that, like Laura said, people don't think of Native people in a contemporary sense, and certainly in a comic book story. That's just so off the beaten track. So I'm hoping that this will inspire others to, you know, join us at our quest to get these comic books out. Lee Francis has Native Realities and Indigenous Narratives Collective, which I'm also involved in, and we're just trying to, you know, collect all the people like the Jay Ojiks and the Daniel Wilsons and, you know, the Jonathan Nelsons of the world, and like, let's all get together and do these stories. Let's do this work. Let's get it done. It needs to be done.
Nice. And Jacqueline, you know, what are some of the reactions from the younger visitors there at the herd and seeing the exhibit?
Oh, people have been really blown away by that there are Indigenous superheroes and with really incredible stories. I mean, it's really, the exhibit has been embraced from younger visitors because we have a lot of hands-on activities. People can make their own capes and their masks and then learn about, you know, really inspired by Aragon's work, real superheroes. So we have a story about Maria Tallchief. We have panels that that talk about the Code Talkers. So there's really this, we wanted the children who come into the exhibit to feel that they have the power to be their own superheroes. So it's really this great intergenerational exhibit, and we get a lot of comments from the kids that are like, of course, like, that's cool, that's awesome, Super Indian's great. But then we also get the adults who are with them who are cracking up that that Super Indian ate tainted cheese, you know, and that, you know, that resonates with people at all different levels as well.
And Jacqueline, who are some of the other artists that are featured there? Folks are, you know, marking their calendar now to visit the Herd.
Absolutely. So we have Theo So, who actually was just here, but is part of the show with Captain Paiute, Nolan Karis James, who's Danette, and his work kind of centers around, as you were talking about earlier, the Danette creation stories and the hero twins. Tom Ferris has pieces, Jason Garcia. So artists who have worked with regard to creating popular culture pieces. Virgil Ortiz and his work with regards to the Aeronauts and taking the story of the Pueblo Revolt and fast moving it into the future. Jonathan Nelson, who's Navajo, and the creator of Jonesy, who has a place in my heart because it's a sheep, you know, being Navajo and our fondness for sheep. So we have several other artists who have work that are part of the show that have Native identities and then also are represented in traditional mediums like ceramics and the touchstone of pottery within. We have quite a few Pueblo communities that are represented in the exhibit. And then people can, you know, see Splinter and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the show as well.
So there's a really big diversity in how you're presenting this, as well as connecting people to comics and, again, all of our superheroes. It is exciting to hear that, you know, there's a lot of work being done to bring some of these great stories forward. And it has definitely been our pleasure today to hear what Native creators are also up to. I want to go ahead and give thanks to our guests today, Aragon Starr, Jay Ojik, and also Jacqueline Russell. We wish you well, and if you'd like to connect with these folks, we'll have links on our website. Visit us at NativeAmericaCalling.com. You can also find our archive there, too. Monica Brain is our senior producer. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. Stephen Emmons is our engineer. And Kaveh Movahed, screen your calls today. I'm Tara Gatewood. We will be back again next week as we bring you more from our electronic talking circle. And we still got the graphic novel Bug, and we're going to bring you one for our book of the month next week. So the fun doesn't end here. Have a wonderful day. Again, I'm Tara Gatewood.
This program supported by the Peace Corps, the government agency sending thousands of volunteers to live and work alongside people in more than 60 countries worldwide. The Peace Corps will allow you to share your unique cultural heritage and promote world peace and friendship. We have rewarding work opportunities around the world in education, health, agriculture, environment, and business. It will change your life and the lives of others. More information available at peacecorps.gov. That's peacecorps.gov.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanik Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.